Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome into Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC Sports. I am Drew Nixon. And I am joined by Mac Morey.
What is going on?
From Fesco and Dusty. We are taking over today.
Yes. I got some more sleep. I'm well rested.
I was going to say, yeah, it's a little bit different for you now having to wake up. What time did you wake up? Or did you wake up too early where you're like, crap, I can still get some more sleep?
I did. I woke up at about 5:15. I had my alarm, you know, turned off, but we just woke up naturally like 5:15. I was like, Mac, come on. Fell asleep for another hour. I was like, Mac, come on. We can get a little more out of this, a little more juice. And I was able to sleep till around 7:15, which is, I mean, that's sleeping in for the morning, guys. So I feel great. I feel well rested, and I'm excited to do 4 hours with you, man. It's just it's me filling in for Alex Gold, you filling in for Cody Tapp, and then you also filling in for yourself. You're doing double duty.
That's right.
So you're back there producing and hosting with me. So you've got a lot going on.
I'm trying to do both of them at the same time. We are going to have a fun.
You will succeed.
We are going to have a fun 4 hours for you. Yes, we're talking Thanksgiving. Of course, we're talking Chiefs. Kramer is going to join.
Yes.
For the fan club, we're going to have some drinks. We're going to make fun of his Raiders.
That's easy to do.
It is a little bit easier to do now, given the situation, as well as actually, we're going to ask Kramer if he wants to be where he's at or if he'd rather them actually be pretty good.
And exactly. I want to talk to him about Shador a little bit and quarterback prospects, because I know he's been talking to me about that. He mentioned in the bullpen the other day, linemen versus Q. So there's a lot of stuff that we can pick on with him with the Raiders, and also talk some serious future discussions too with him later on.
Would you take Deion as the head coach right now with the Raiders? We're going to talk to him and a whole lot more as well. Again, 913-586-7965 if you want to be part of the show. We're going to start out, though. What are you excited about this weekend? Obviously, you know, we have the Chiefs and Raiders game. We've got some other good Thanksgiving games. We're going to get into some of our Thanksgiving things that we're thankful for a little bit later on. We'd love to hear what yours are as well. But I think there's a lot to look forward to this weekend. We'll get into the Chiefs in more particular, I think, here in a moment. But the slate's really good, Mac, for these NFL games. A lot of pivotal matchups, divisional matchups. There's a lot of them. No bigger, obviously, in Kansas City than the Chiefs and the Raiders.
Oh man, it's an amazing sports weekend. It's an amazing family weekend. It's the best food weekend there is in America. I mean, we don't care about our caloric intake. I don't care about the amount of carbs and cholesterol that I'm going to consume. I don't care. And you know what?
I don't want your stomach to be like sticking out a little bit more than it normally does.
If you are not tomorrow by 3 or 4 p.m. rolling me off the dinner table onto the couch for football, then something bad has happened. Something catastrophic has happened to my plans for the day. I don't know. At 913-586-7965, I don't know what you guys are most excited about. If it's the sports, if it's family, if it's everything all at once.
I think it's all of it together.
I think it is too.
You have family here.
Yeah, man. I've got my two brothers coming down with my fiance, who I haven't seen in a month, so I can't wait to see her. I'm so excited. They'll be here this afternoon, so I'm just on the edge of my seat. So excited to do these 4 hours, but once 2 o'clock hits, man, I'm pumped. That just means I'm a couple hours of seeing my girl, so I'm excited.
You're zoned. I understand that completely. It'll just be me and the wife here, but we're still going to have a good time.
That'll be great, though. That'll be nice.
Yeah. Be able to. It'll be nice to relax a little bit. You know, we've been grinding a little bit more than normal because we've been doing the after hour stuff a couple of nights a week, some longer weeks.
Burning the candle at both ends a little bit for us, but it's been fun.
I'm not complaining at all whatsoever.
No,
because,
no.
Again, and any opportunity like this to host a show with you, obviously, is a blast bringing after hours
for real. Same.
To Cody and Gold. I feel like, you know, it's a Thanksgiving's like it's a football holiday, but it also, it's a family thing. Like, you hear always, like God, family, and football, like, regarding, like, NFL coaches. They always talk about that stuff. You get a mix of all of that stuff, like the family aspect. You get the food aspect. You get the football aspect. You could argue that Thanksgiving is maybe the second best holiday, in my opinion, to Christmas, just because I love me some Christmas time as well. Thanksgiving is right there because you get all of those things at one time. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, dude, it's really close for me. It's hard. I go back and forth, Christmas and Thanksgiving. Like, I'm such a recency bias guy. Like, we're in the moment right now, so I'm like, oh, yeah, dude, Thanksgiving. But then talk to me in a month, I'll be like, bro, can't be Christmas. So I don't know.
Christmas songs, there's music. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, I mean, and I can't remember who said this. It may have been one of my friends, Emily, who I got to know through Bob Fesco. Christmas is a season. Thanksgiving is a day. So they go in tandem. They go hand in hand. You can celebrate both at the same time. I don't know about you guys, but I know a lot of people during your Thanksgiving dinner, you have music on in the background. Everyone's talking, drinking, having a good time. A lot of the time that's music. That's Christmas music, right? You're getting that holiday Christmas music going already. And I think that's completely appropriate. We'll obviously get into sides and different foods that we like and rank that sort of stuff, rank traditions.
There's some overrated things about Thanksgiving.
There are some underrated things as well, and I think we should get to both. I think we need to hit both ends there. But I'm overall just excited to see some fam. There was some good college basketball on last night. That was exciting. A little Kansas Duke action. I don't know if you got
kick
to hit
to
that.
The face.
Gosh, man, what was that?
Hunter Dickinson, man. You know, I'm gonna be honest. A lot of people on Twitter. I saw gold last night. Shout out to him being a KU guy. It's a flagrant one. It's not a flagrant two. To me. If you watch it in slow-mo, I don't like watching it in slow-mo. In the moment, as it happened, it looked like Hunter Dickinson went on the ground, lifted his foot over, found where the player's head was, and lowered his head a little bit. Didn't try to kick him like it was, but it was definitely intentional. That's where you get to the flip from the flagrant one to the flagrant two, where it's over-aggressive and it also was intentional. Get him out of the game.
Yeah, and if you missed that, that's literally what happened. I mean, Hunter literally pretty much kicked someone in the face. That is following him, elbowing him in the face. Going to the ground, right? I mean, he whipped around with his elbow pretty high, too, which is already a flagrant one. I think the whole sequence of events adds up to a flagrant two. I had no problem with it. It was surprising to me how long it took. I'm sitting there going, okay, really? You need KU this call? I'm sorry for the KU listeners. I'm not a Jayhawk guy, but I just...
I'm unbiased, but I'm going to keep it real. That was a flagrant two.
I'm biased.
Two.
I can't help it. Sorry.
In some instances, I think it's good to be biased.
I grew up here, and I don't know why. I grew up, and I could have liked KU.
Because you're a Vol guy.
Yeah, but I wasn't growing up. I could have been a KU.
Who did you like growing up?
My dad went to the University of Texas, and when I was seven, I got into sports, probably six or seven, and I was like, you know what? Screw you, Dad. I like Texas A&M, Giga Maggies. And so that was my school until
You haven't even been a local guy, period.
No. I mean, I went to some MU games because I had some friends that were, you know, MU alumni and stuff like that. But my sister goes to K-State. So if I had to pick one of the three, it would be K-State now. But yeah, I just completely went away from that, went Texas A&M, but now obviously go Vols.
All you Emaw fans can send Max some love because he said he would go to K-State if he were to pick a local school.
There you go.
one of the things that... For this Chiefs team getting into this game, I think yesterday Cody and I talked about it a little bit was they should blow this team out. They were pissed off on Sunday after they only beat the Panthers by 3 points. You could hear it in Mahomes' voice. You could just see it on everybody's faces. It's a divisional game though, and one of the things that's been a part of the conversation while the offense has been really productive over the last few weeks, Mac, is the idea that Andy Reid's holding stuff back, and you have this, you've fallen in love with this idea, apparently, that, you know what, the Chiefs are maybe a little bit off here and there, but it's because they're not giving you everything that they have. I don't know if I agree with this, Mac. I need you to try to sell me on it.
Yeah. We talked about this on After Hours a couple weeks ago, and I was kind of with you. I was like, I don't know about that because that game mattered against the Buffalo Bills, right? That game was not a game where you should hold stuff back necessarily because that was one seed implications, all those things. Then I thought about it more, and I was like, well, it doesn't really matter what I think should or shouldn't have relevance to the Chiefs as far as weight in games and what matters and what doesn't matter. What matters is the facts, and I can look at the facts, and I can look at the numbers, and I can see, okay, they are obviously not giving their whole playbook out. They are not obviously showing everything. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, 47% of the snaps in Buffalo, 44% of the snaps against the Carolina Panthers. Obviously, Isaiah Pacheco has not been a part of this. I think that is going to completely change this offense. Do you know the Chiefs are last as far as explosive play rate is concerned in the league? The least explosive plays. And that for if you don't know what that means necessarily, text line or anyone listening, it would be a 20-yard pass play or more or a 15-yard run or more. They don't get any of that. I mean, Kareem Hunt's longest run this year is 17 yards, and he's been fantastic, 3 to 5 yards a pop. But that explosion is going to come from Pacheco. And then, I mean, you watching that Carolina game to me, Drew, I mean, you watch back and just kind of see the energy shift after the first quarter. They're up 10-0. I mean, you can see it just changes, right? I mean, to me, I just felt, okay, obviously they took their foot off the gas.
I don't like the narrative, because, you know, when Andy Reid sits up there and they ask him questions about the game and about the opposing team, to me, Andy Reid has too much respect to half-ass a coaching job, essentially, I guess is where I'm getting to, is Andy Reid is so full on, and I understand the concept of him saving plays. I get it. He doesn't want to do the double reverse with Xavier Worthy and Mecole Hardman yet because he's saving it for the playoffs. Fine, I understand. The concept of DeAndre Hopkins not actually playing the full snaps, to me, almost seems like maybe the knee's bothering him a little bit, or there's like a nagging thing where he isn't. That's the only thing, because to me, it doesn't make any sense. I don't get why you would do that when, because this I don't. Is DeAndre Hopkins able to just ramp it up? If he goes 44% the rest of the way, let's say he's 40% the rest of the regular season, and all of a sudden the playoffs come and he's at 70, not that he can't do it, but are we, or maybe he doesn't have the playbook. That also was suggested by the text line the other day. He doesn't have it fully. I just don't get the idea why you would not play one of your best players because you want to continue to get him reps and continue to build the chemistry, all of this leading up to where you make that heavy push in the playoffs. I don't get the idea of him just holding off the gas for DeAndre Hopkins right now.
Now, if you're asking me the why, I don't have the answer. I'm just saying it is happening. And to me, it's not the knee injury, because he was playing full snaps with the Tennessee Titans those last couple of weeks. We had heard from, you know, some of my old colleagues at 104.5 The Zone there in Nashville, who worked closely, obviously, with D-Hop and the Tennessee Titans organization, that, you know, he's fine. He's actually healthy. He got a little surgery a few months ago. He's been fine, had to work his way up. So I don't think the knee's actually been bothering him necessarily. I think this is purely strategic. Like, they are saving him. They are holding him. They're keeping him well rested. The playbook thing, yeah, I get it. Obviously, if you ask me, does DeAndre Hopkins know the full playbook? No, but he's more up to speed than 47% of the snaps.
Yeah.
Like, he could be playing more.
From the 785, the fifth round pick to the Titans instead of the fourth for under 60% snaps.
I'm there, seven. I get it. I know. I'm frustrated, too.
Hold on. But to me, is getting a three-peat more important than your fourth or fifth round pick? Yes. Play the man. Like, if they don't three-peat, but he went 60% and you keep your pick, I know that Brett Veach does a phenomenal job in those rounds, but it shouldn't matter. If they are that concerned about a fourth or a fifth round pick, then maybe they don't trust Brett Veach as much as they should. Because he's been so good in the fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever rounds. To me, it's not worth. If you want a three-peat, I think you need to be getting your guys ready to go for that final stretch. Where DeAndre Hopkins, it's not like he's been around all season. Get him in, get him all the reps he needs, bring in Hollywood Brown as well for the playoffs, and make that push. Because if they don't three-peat, what was the use of this anyways then?
Yeah, exactly.
So play him.
No, Drew, I'm agreeing with you.
Okay,
I'm
so just, you like the idea, because... You like the idea.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't be playing him. I'm just telling you they obviously aren't, for the reason that they are holding stuff back. I don't agree with it. I'm just telling you that's what's happening. There's no question to me that's what's happening. He's not hurt. There's no reason not to play him other than the fourth or fifth round draft pick, which, I'm sorry, I just completely disagree with that. That, to
it
me,
doesn't matter.
Is not entering their minds. They are not sitting there going, ooh, sorry, D-Hop, you got to sit out the snap because we need that pick. No. That's not
you don't trust the GM that's basically helped you win the Super Bowl.
This is the best GM in football, exactly. And this is a team that's going for a three-peat. They are obviously all in on the three-peat. That's why they went out and got D-Hop. That's why they went out and got DJ Humphries. That's why they went out and got Kareem Hunt. That's why they're looking at maybe bringing in a guy like Xavier Howard for the defensive back room, which we'll bring up later. I'm not saying I agree with the fact that D-Hop's playing. It's ticking me off. I want to see him more in the game. But to me, it does tell me the fact that I think people were right a couple of weeks ago. They're holding stuff back.
From the 816, they're scared to play him now. Last thing you want is him hurt for the playoffs.
I could see that. I could see them being a little bit more scared to hurt him. But again,
I don't know,
but you brought him in for a reason. I mean, this team will need him down the stretch.
Yeah. Someone said, yeah, there's six games left for the regular season. Chill out, Drew. All I'm saying is
Drew, chill out.
All I'm saying is I don't like the narrative of they're saving stuff. And maybe it's because I think it's disrespectful, and maybe because they're the only team that can do it. because of the Kansas City Chiefs, like Alex and Cody mention all the time. Oh, it's the we don't care about the regular season. Just tell me when it's January. We know the Chiefs will be there. We know they're winning the division. Wake me up then. Until then, I'm in hibernation mode. I don't know if it's because I'm not a Chiefs fan like that. It bothers me.
I get it.
Because the team that I root for, heaven forbid the team that I root for actually could have that as a potential option.
Well, you guys fall asleep in the regular season anyways.
No, they fall asleep when the season starts.
Yes.
Yes. I just don't like the concept of it or the thought process of it. I just think it's a little bit disrespectful. But then again, the Chiefs have been disrespectful to everybody else because they just keep on winning games and nobody else can do a darn thing about it.
From the 6-2-0, they're 10-1. What more do you want? If you're referring to the Buffalo game, that's a mind game. Let them have their Super Bowl in the regular season. Okay. I think the Chiefs would agree with you there for whatever reason, because I'm looking at the numbers and that tells me that you're right, 6-2-0. But I'm telling you, I disagree with it because that game did matter for the number one seed and they are only a game back. And then the Chiefs are still in the driver's seat. I'm not worried about it. I'm not freaking out. This team's amazing. They're 10-1. I'm not complaining. I'm just letting you know that I think people were right when they were holding stuff back. I think they were right. I was wrong. There's no other answer to me.
All right, I'm going to need our guy Nate Taylor or whoever at the press conference. Hey, Andy, it doesn't even have to be this week. It could be next week when DeAndre Hopkins conceivably plays 45% of the snaps. Hey, coach, you holding back? We know that you've won the last two Super Bowls. Are you just waiting to turn it up a notch? Well, again, the answer from Andy Reid, I think a lot of people could guess what it's going to be.
Yeah,
but,
nothing.
But yeah, I just need somebody to ask the question. I just need somebody to ask the question.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we will see that ramp up happen. There's no question, obviously, come January, and that's why that Bills game didn't matter as much to me, because that was a C game from the Chiefs, and that you can't really judge what that offense is going to look like if D-Hop's only in less than 50% of the snaps.
From the 9-1-3, I think this is a really good text, because this is another thought process of this. I'm a big KU and Chiefs fan, and we're blessed and cursed that we aren't invested in the regular season. I watch every game, and I want them to win, but it's not as serious. So to me, is that I don't think it necessarily hurts yourself from a viewing product. But to me, I understand why you want to go to the games. But if you know that the regular season doesn't matter, or this idea that the regular season doesn't matter, does that hurt you as a viewer of your favorite sports team? Not to the likes of the NBA, Mac, where we see Joel Embiid just sitting out games. We see superstars just not playing. But we know that you're not getting the full, like, they're not playing for everything right now. Like, they aren't even giving it full go. I don't know if that takes you off of watching it, but I can understand why, from this texter standpoint, it's a little bit frustrating to watch at times, is because you think, man, they just barely beat the Panthers. Well, we don't know if they're actually playing hard or if they weren't, because who the hell knows at this rate? Because DeAndre Hopkins isn't playing, but they're all pissed off on the sideline. Andy Reid's given a great post-game speech about, hey, boys, it doesn't matter how we got to do it. We just got to win, which makes me think that he is going all in.
So he is trying.
In these
games. That is weird.
I can understand why it is frustrating. Somebody else says, I think players are bored, and Andy doesn't like to blow teams out.
We talked a lot about that this week, right? Chiefs are bored. That's a popular take right now. Chiefs are bored.
That would be excruciating to just, again, I think it is a little bit of jealousy on my part. Somebody suggested that.
I did see that text.
Nobody else in the league.
I don't think Drew's jealous, guys.
This. Nobody else in the league can do this. Like, there's no. Imagine just thinking about this. Forget anybody else, or forget the Chiefs. Let's say the Bills. Bills players aren't bored. Are the Chiefs that are they really that good? Are they that good, Mac, where they can be bored and take games off and still win games? I don't buy it.
Yes, they've won back-to-back Super Bowls, Drew.
But they're not taking it off. I don't buy that. That's why I don't buy the idea. That's where it originates from. Anyways, transitioning to more happier things. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. 913-586.
Oh man, I can't wait.
965 Mac. We'll start
so
with you.
So excited.
I'll go, and then again, anybody on the text line.
Yeah, please.
What are you thankful for? Simple as that.
Yeah. Who are you thankful for? What are you thankful for this time of year? This is the season where it feels easier to just go up to someone and say, hey man, I'm really thankful for you. Hey, I really appreciate you doing this. Or hey, just so you know, that time when you said this to me or did this, that really, that really lifted me up, man. And I just want to let you know, I'm thinking, like, I know those, some of those times, those conversations are a little awkward, a little hard to have, and maybe you just be like, yeah, just let it pass. Man, go say it this time of year, because it'll mean a lot to someone, just saying that nice thing to someone. Hey, man, you when you did this to me, or when you got that present for me, or when you showed up to this for me, whatever it may be, you really helped me out. I mean, for me, man, I'm thankful for so many things, especially this year, because it's just been just a crazy year. But I mean, obviously, you guys here at the station have been fantastic. I've been here since, you know, July, and it's been fantastic. Just everyone here is so nice. I feel like I'm already kind of a part of the
100%. You're group, part of the family,
the brotherhood that we've got going on here. And I mean, Bob and Dusty, man. I mean, Bob, I wouldn't be here without Bob, you know, taking a liking to me in those interviews and clinging on to me and. No pun intended with Kling. I mean, he was part of those interviews too. So I got to give
shout
a shout
out to Kling.
Got to give a shout out to Kling, who really helped me in his few weeks here when I was with him. And Dusty's been like a total, like, just awesome, like, wake up for me, just as far as learning's concerned. And we just have so much fun together in the mornings with all those guys. I could not ask for a better group. Like, seriously, I love those guys already. It's just been so much fun. And I got to give a shout out to my mom, who's letting me live with her. You know,
oh,
as much as that's been,
there, done that,
dude. Yeah. I mean,
shout out to moms,
dude. Yeah. Shout out to the moms out there. Shout out to the dads out there. Grandmas, grandpas, all of them, thankful for my mom though. Just seriously taking me in and just going straight mom mode. You know how they do, man. She's doing the cooking. She's helping me out. She's making sure I'm good to go. So, and then, most of all, last, but certainly not least, man, my fiance. I mean, seriously, I mean, my wonderful, wonderful future wife, Hannah, who's going to be here today. I'm just so excited to see her.
Happy but also,
I mean,
for you.
Very, very happy. She's moving across the country for me, basically. You know what I mean?
Like, love it.
I mean, she's grown up in Nashville. She's lived in Nashville forever. I get this job, my dream that I've been wanting to pursue since I was 8 years old. And yeah, man, we've had our trials and tribulations. It has not been the easiest transition, I'm not going to lie. But like, her willingness to move across the country for me, I mean, I could literally like, yeah, I could get emotional about it. I mean, it's amazing. Facts. I'm really excited about it. So, yeah, I mean, I'm so thankful for her and for her like dedication to us, and I can't wait to see her, man.
A lot of people on the text line, 913-586-7965. Thankful for my two young boys who love sports. Love that.
Let's go. That's awesome, man.
Someone's from the 816. I'm thankful. I'm a Chiefs fan and not a Bengals fan. shout out to you. Mac and Drew is who I'm thankful for. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
We are thankful for all of you who are listening. Thank you for coming into work with a positive attitude. Always try to do that. We have one of the best jobs. As Cody says, we don't have a real job at times. We don't, which is why we get to have fun.
Man.
And I'm able to dress like I'm freezing cold, which I'm sure I am today. The text line was killing me for that. Yesterday.
It's cold in the studio. Cut him some slack.
From the 816, beyond thankful for my wife of 12 years and our three beautiful kids. Shout out to you.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So the 913 Lance says, I'm thankful for Patrick Mahomes in college football 25. It's a great game.
Amazing game.
Are you still playing?
I am still playing.
I am as well. Thankful for this show. I listen every day, morning and midday.
Oh, that's
shout
awesome.
Out to you.
Thank you for listening.
How old are you, Mac?
26.
It's a good guess. The text line followed up by
wow, the 816. Wow,
26.
Guess that. Maybe 26. Yeah,
so
got
thankful
it.
For Charles Barkley. Hell yes, that was.
Chuck.
Did you see him last night? Him and Jalen Rose, by the way, joined them because Kenny was out. Phenomenal,
really.
Jalen Rose was.
Oh,
really,
I could see him being good.
Really good. There
oh,
were some
no.
moments yesterday where it was fantastic.
What did Chuck do? Did I miss?
Well, Chuck did. Okay, it wasn't necessarily Chuck. It was Jalen that was. Chuck had his glasses.
Okay.
And Jalen Rose is like doing a double take, and he's like. Are those welding glasses? And because he was holding his glasses and he was trying to focus. Like he wasn't able to read with them. He's like, I need him to see. And Chuck goes, tell me what I'm eating for Thanksgiving on Thursday with those futuristic ass glasses. He's dying. Like, come on, y'all. Y'all are hilarious. Shout out to other people who are texting again. 913-586-7965 from the 620. Thank you for my lady, my kids, and my job, and the Chiefs three-peating this
Let's
year.
Let's go. Love
heard,
it, man.
Heard that trying to...
From the 816, man. Became a father this year. Never been more thankful.
Oh, shout out
That's
to
incredible.
You.
Incredible.
Congratulations.
That's awesome, man. One day.
That is awesome.
One day, 816. Hopefully, I'll share that.
From the 816, I'm thankful for gold stopping Cody from singing. You won't have to hear that today. Mac and I are not going to sing, I promise. Nor will we play.
No promises.
Nor will we play. Well, then
I'm just kidding.
I'll beatbox and Mac can rap. How about that?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I forgot. We can both beatbox.
Maybe beatbox as well.
We can both beatbox. We should get Kramer in here and rap. We'll lay down a beat. Yeah.
Pentatonics. Here we go, baby. Let's go. from the 816. That's a good woman, Mac. My wife sold her house in Northern California and moved here to be with me 9 years ago.
That's amazing. That's definitely amazing. No, I'm very, very, very thankful.
My wife, very similar to myself, very similar to your situation, Mac. She's moved with me wherever, been gracious enough to do that. A lot of people wouldn't be willing to do that.
That's incredible. Nah, that takes a special person.
Love the support, and I love her very, very much. I'm also thankful, as you said, you know, Alex and Cody, as much crap as we give each other sometimes, it's great because we get to provide, you know, everybody with something to be happy about and something to laugh about. We're thankful for the listeners because without you guys,
oh, man,
we wouldn't have a point of doing the show. Thankful to Spec, obviously. This is the
amazing.
Best.
Yes, and Spec's incredible.
Along the same lines that you have, this is the best job I've ever had, period, point
easy.
Blank.
Not even close.
Best group of people, whether it's Barbara, who texted us this morning.
Oh, man, yeah.
It's Bob or Dusty. It's you. It's Rob. It's Carrington. Alex and Cody, obviously, as well. Bink, as well. Shout out to Bink.
Oh, man, yeah. Shout out to Jay. Absolutely. What a family here. It really is.
It is awesome.
And to your point with the listeners, I mean, Drew, you've been here a little over a year. I've only been here since July, and I've already feel that from the listeners. What a great, like, listener group here.
Best text line. Like, I'm wearing these headphones right now. Shout out to the text line.
They've
helped me out in more ways that I never thought I would imagine.
So cool.
Whether it's making fun of me for paying somebody to take my couch, which did happen. I got scammed, Mac. I don't know if you've heard that story
yet. Wait,
what? Oh, yeah. I briefly, real quick.
Yeah, really quick.
I basically gave somebody $100 for them to take my couch, but it ended up being a scam, so I didn't actually sell my couch.
Oh,
but I lost $100.
Damn.
So
sorry.
That was me being an idiot. But
other than that, though,
I would be thankful if I could hear a Bengals fan break down their path to the playoffs this year. I will not give the text line that because I will get blasted for that. And also, the path is just win, baby, as Travis Kelce said.
That is it.
So shout out to all you guys who texted in. Thank you so much for listening to the show. We got a whole lot more for you. Again, Kramer's going to join at 1 o'clock. We're going to have a fan club Wednesday. We're going to have some fun talking college football up next. Also, Patrick Mahomes is inevitable, isn't he? That and more comes next right here on 96.5 The Fan. It's Cody and Gold. Cody and Gold continuing here on 96.5 The Fan. Your home for KC Sports. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey. Hanging out with y'all for the next few hours. Kramer is going to join for the fan club. Yes, we will have drinks. Mac, you forgot your Twisted Woo. Tea, though.
I did.
But we'll find something for
you. We've got supplies.
I've got my Mike's Hard Lemonade sitting in the fridge right now.
Classic.
So I'm very happy for that.
Classic for you.
I'm very thankful for that. We're going to get to some college football in just a moment here in about 10 minutes or so. The rankings came out. And I actually don't mind the bracket.
Okay.
Indiana is still in.
Yep.
There are some interesting things we're going to look at a little bit later on. Ross Dellinger had an interesting thread, but we're going to take a look at the rankings. We're also going to compare how we might have them compared to what actually came out from the committee as well. But first, Mac, Patrick Mahomes, when we know how great he is in the fourth quarter in particular, we've seen it multiple times this year. We've seen it throughout his entire career. How inevitable is it? When the Panthers go down and they score, it seems like every single time, it's just like the Brady thing. Oh, you left too much time for Patrick Mahomes. You left too much time. And you just know that it's going to happen. It's almost like it's something that you can basically predict it to happen. And it comes true 90% of the time. If Patrick Mahomes has the ball last, he wins the coin toss in overtime, the game is over. And you're not getting the ball back again, and this game is going to end in a Chiefs victory because of Patrick Mahomes.
I mean,
it feels like it's all the time.
I mean, watching that game against the Panthers, I don't know. You guys can tell me I'm wrong. 913-586-7965, and I get it. It's the Carolina Panthers, so there are levels to this. But any moment where he has the ball, I mean, the Bucs game. Take the Bucs game. I mean, once they won the toss, I mean, the meme of Baker Mayfield, like, ugh. I mean, you just know. It is inevitable. And I don't know right now what is that level in sports of inevitability to where it's like, oh yeah, that's going to happen. I mean, you got the ball 20 with a minute left, needed a field goal. It's like,
yeah.
You ever heard of Spencer Schrader? Nope. Does it matter? Nope. He's going to get close enough and he does it. Clutch 40, 30 yard run or whatever it was. I mean, he just pulls a new trick out of his hat every single time. And I'm sitting there watching with one of my best friends, another one of my best friends who's not a Chiefs fan. One is a Chiefs fan, but all three of us are just like, man. No, yeah, 27-27 could lose to this terrible Panthers team. Not going to, though. And I think it kind of relates to some of those texts that we've gotten, Drew, of like, spoiled, right? Chiefs, KU fan, texted in is like a little spoiled because the regular season doesn't matter. And that's part of it because you're watching, like, I mean, it's going to be fine. Like, this is like the movie. We're in the falling action. We've gone to the climax, the falling action. I know the resolution's coming. It's all good.
And it's Patrick Mahomes.
And it's Patrick Mahomes every time.
Because like I think you brought up a good point with him and the run in particular. It's been with his legs this year. And it has been previously, but it's been with his legs notably. Yes. He makes the clutch 3rd and 9 plus run. He makes the 30 plus run.
Yeah.
He's able to extend drives with his legs. He's able to do the little pump fake thing where he just tiptoes down the sideline and nobody wants to tackle him because they're scared he's the quarterback. I don't know. He pump fakes him and jukes him out, and then he's able to run down for a little bit longer gain and obviously move the ball down the field. Very few athletes in sports, I think, capture that sort of moment where it's almost like, for those who follow the NBA, like MJ, like, you know who's getting the last shot. You know who's getting the last shot, and you know that most of the time, this man is so clutch that he's going to make the shot. You know that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you give too much time for Patrick Mahomes, this man's going to find a way to get it done because he does it all of the time, and you'd be better off betting for him to do it and go 80 yards down the field in a minute than you are to bet against him in that same situation.
I mean,
it's like MJ.
Exactly. I mean,
there's other comparisons too, I'm sure.
I mean, LeBron James, not in the same like clutch sense, but in that like him just being good seems inevitable now.
Just taking over,
being able to take over. I mean, we saw it in the Olympics. It's like it's year 20, year 21, whatever it is at this point. The guy's almost 40. I mean, that is a level of inevitability that may top the Mahomes with a minute, 2 minutes left or something like that. I don't know. That's up there. I mean, it feels like every time April rolls around, the Masters come out, it feels pretty inevitable that all of us are like, Tiger's got a shot. Come on, guys. He just needs to make it past the first couple days. Makes it to the weekend. I mean, right there. I mean, that's inevitable. All of us are going to do that. We have no really reason to, but we will.
Everybody's waiting for the roar on 13 where Tiger makes a birdie putt, gives that fist bump, and you're like, all right, here we go. He's birdied 3 out of 4.
Exactly.
Here he comes.
It's happening.
The one guy that you don't want to get hot is getting hot right now.
It's inevitable. We even though just that feeling for us is inevitable, even though it may or may not happen, we're all going to do that. I mean, there was some sense of inevitability, it felt like, with the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight, that we were all inevitably going to get hyped for Mike Tyson. We were all going to go back to his Iron Mike days and picture him, you know, biting ears and knocking people out and being the scariest guy alive. Like,
I don't think people would have cared that much if he had bit Jake Paul's ear. Like, you know what? All right.
I would have loved it.
There was one moment, by the real quick, to segue off of this, because it's radio and we segue just like everybody else does.
Yes, please.
There was a moment in that fight. Or if you saw, there was a breakdown of it. He has a chance. Tyson can right hook Jake Paul and knock his ass out. Like, he can put him down.
Yep.
But he lowers his hand. It's like his body didn't go through it. It just shut down for a second.
It was like, I'm going to make $25 million. I better not land this punch. Real quick on the mic, Tyson, because I forgot, my little sister's in town from K-State with her fiance, and so I was visiting with them last night, hadn't seen them in a while, it was great, so glad they're here too, thankful for them as well, but she was like, her and her fiance watched the fight on the Antonio Brown stream, by the way, which is just tells you where we're at in 2024, but also, she was like, yeah, Mike Tyson seems like a really sweet guy. And I was like, that just tells you, like, you know, age difference. And I'm not even that much older than my little sister, but just as far as my sports knowledge is concerned, Mike Tyson's a sweet guy. Probably would never come out of my mouth. I just thought that was pretty funny.
Doing the interview with his son saying, I love you. And then walking away with his bare butt cheeks hanging out of the...
I was like, maybe you're just seeing him as an old man, seeing his little butt cheeks. And you're like, oh, he's a cute guy. Aw. And it's like, no. This is not that.
I need somebody to hate Jake Paul so much that they actually land the punch and say, forget the $25 million.
Yeah, screw you. I'm knocking you out.
I'm going to end this man's career. Somebody from the 913. Tiger in the hunt in a major is the same inevitable. 100%.
Yep.
Yeah, there is. And I think, honestly, to the same effect, even now, I think, Mac, where when he won that U.S. Open, I believe it was the U.S. Open, if I am... Dusty would be the one to correct me if it's actually the PGA, but I think it was the U.S. Open when he won... That major, I forget where it was, but the entire field was following him on 18.
Yes.
But to the Texas point and what you and I were talking about, there's moments in sports where you just know, and there's not much, like you can try as hard as you can, but you just know that it's not going to be enough. Like, you know that I'm giving everything that I have, but this guy might be able to give a little bit more. That's Tiger Woods. Like, I'm going to go and I'm still going to stripe this ball down the fairway. I'm going to put it to 10 feet. I'm going to put it to 5 feet. Tiger's going to put it to 2 feet. And it's going to be a tap in, and it's going to be electric. And there's not much that's better than that, where you might be able to put out your Josh Allen. I'm going to go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to do everything I humanly possibly can to give my team a chance to win the game. And still, with 13 seconds left to go, this man hits it to 2 feet, to 1 foot instead of 5 feet, and ends up leading to the game-winning drive where you kick the field goal and you go to overtime and you get the thing done. I think the inevitable moments in sports are almost... those are the ones where you look back, like, on the broad scope of things. Like, you look at, like, the ESPY Awards. You look at all-time moments in sports. Like 50 years down the line, the MJ shove on that game winner is still going to be around. Mahomes' 13-second drive is still going to be around 50 years from now. That thing is still going to be talked about just as much. Like, yeah, this was really cool, but you guys don't remember 50 years ago when this man went down the field in 15 seconds, and that's never been done still to this point. Like, this guy was cold-blooded. Somebody said it was the Tour Championship. Not a major. Thank you very much for that.
Okay. That makes more sense.
Well, someone said, what is, real quick before, to college,
785,
before we go to college football, what is Pat going to do when he's too old to scramble?
Throw darts, throw dimes.
I do think there is a, we talked about it a little bit, not necessarily him falling off, but his ability to scramble is going to dissipate as time goes on.
Of course.
He's a good enough thrower. Well, he'll be able to make up for that, but that's also the importance of the left tackle position.
Yeah, you're going to need some more time in the pocket.
We'll talk about that in the Chiefs Red Half Hour a little bit later on, particularly about position groups that we're watching.
I think Mahomes already showed you what he's going to do last year, 785. Mm. But anyways.
Tell him. Flex on him, Mac. You'll be able to do that a little bit more in the Chiefs Red Half Hour. So the college football playoff rankings come out last night.
Yes. So you're satisfied. You think it's overall good?
I'm pretty satisfied. By the way, 249 miles of college football podcast.
Yes.
The show's done. I'm recording the podcast right afterwards, and it's going to be out later on today.
Busy day.
So you can, a busy day, but a fun day. You can listen to it. Don't listen to it tomorrow. I'm just going to tell you right now. Enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You
be with your family.
Friday, knock yourself out.
Do it. Listen,
while
please.
You're going shopping. I think that I'm glad that Indiana got in, because I think that was the big question is, hey, what is the bracket going to look like? Is Indiana still going to be in? What happens to Alabama and Ole Miss after they fall out? Particularly looking at the bracket, one thing that stands out to me that I don't want to wish. I don't want to tell the committee what to do in terms of matchups. But Georgia and Tennessee, we've already seen that. We've seen that matchup before. Notre Dame is the 7, SMU is the 10. That one's fine. But Penn State is the 6, IU is the 11. We haven't seen that this year, but I like when you mix it up a little bit. You know, like, I want to see.
I agree.
I want to see Tennessee take on Penn State. I want to see IU
fun.
Take on Georgia.
Don't want to see that. You don't want to see that. Come on. Come on, man.
I do.
IU would get kicked around. They showed us their true colors, brother.
I'm going to be honest. I think they actually have a better shot at beating Georgia than they do Ohio State. I think Ohio State's the best team in the country.
That's fine. I'd agree with you with that.
I think Oregon and Ohio State are the best top tier.
I'd agree with that.
But there are.
Georgia's that next tier.
Yes, but they've also, to me, I think, and it's really all Carson Beck.
I agree.
Man is too inconsistent.
He is.
Texas, the SEC is interesting because Texas, their resume stinks.
Stinks.
It's not good.
What is their marquee win,
Vanderbilt,
bro?
Vanderbilt is maybe their marquee win.
What?
And people would say, well, they beat Michigan. Vanderbilt is a better marquee win this year than Michigan is.
Sucks.
Just, you know, stomach that for a second. But they haven't beaten anybody, and they got beat by Georgia. They have one loss, but they got beat by Georgia by 15 points, and they looked awful in that game. Quinn Ewers looked bad. Arch Manning couldn't do anything when he came in. I believe it was briefly as well. The way that the committee looks at things is just so weird. I don't understand the concept of what they rank teams by, because it seems like it's inconsistent for everybody. What we're looking at the caliber of the schedule, Texas's schedule looks difficult in a way, but just like Missouri, the big game, they lost. They have another big one this weekend. Game day is there in College Station as the Aggies take on the Longhorns. If they lose that one, I think you can make a case that, very similarly to Missouri, in any big game, if Texas loses by double digits, Texas wet the bed. Are the Longhorns all of a sudden not deserving of being in the college football playoff? I think that it's weird. The concept of the way that the format is, it includes everybody. Because everybody's freaking out, Mac, about the best teams aren't in the playoff. Well, then you know what we should do? The ACC shouldn't be in because Miami's damn well not. I don't even think Miami's honestly deserving of being a top 10 team. And so if we're talking best teams, you're going to have a bunch of Big Ten and SEC teams. There's not going to be a Big 12 team in there. There's not going to be an ACC team in there. There's not going to be a Group of Five team in there. It's just going to be the Big Ten and the SEC if we're talking quote unquote best teams.
And these aren't the best teams. That's not what we're doing.
Yeah, I think that's it used to be that way.
It used to.
With the four, it used to be the best teams. Now there's the format and the category where they're still making the games matter a significant amount where Alabama loses three games. They get beat by Oklahoma. They only score 3 points against Oklahoma, who lost to Drew Pine, by the way, as Missouri's quarterback. Alabama shouldn't even be in the conversation to make it anymore as far as I'm concerned. I don't care what happens in the Iron Bowl. I don't care what happens in the SEC title game. It doesn't matter.
Really? You don't care at all what happens in the SEC title game? Wow.
Well, because Bama's not going to be in there. Bama is not going to make the college football playoff, nor should they. Because to me, one of the things that we talk about, and this bothers me a lot more, it's really good when looking at March Madness. They look at the RPIs and all that other stuff like they do strength of schedule, but they look at key losses as well as key wins. All we've talked about is key wins. Like, who is the marquee win for Texas? Well, they don't have anything. They have a loss that's technically a marquee loss, but Alabama lost to Oklahoma. That's a bad loss.
Terrible.
You know, Georgia.
Embarrassing.
Has a couple of losses that have been tough. Ole Miss, they lost to Florida, a really good Florida team. We need to start looking at key losses, I think, in my opinion, because if you look at Indiana's one loss, like, yes, they've destroyed everybody that they've played to their credit. That's why I think they should be in, is they've beaten everybody by double digits that they played other than Ohio State. They lost to Ohio State. Ohio State's the best team in the country. I don't know how you can penalize, because the conversation was, if IU loses, and they lose by a lot, they should be out. Ohio State already had one loss. Let's say IU wins by two touchdowns. Is Ohio State out of the playoff?
No.
Because to me, I think the conversation should have been that, could have been that, or should have been that, had Indiana done that. But it would have never happened.
No, it would have never happened.
Because Ohio State is that blue blood. They're the big dog. That's where I think the way the format is really nice. Also, notable to mention,
the format is good.
Boise State has a bye.
That's why the format kind of sucks.
And Arizona State. I don't think it does, though, Mac.
What?
Because I'll be honest.
What?
I think that there is...
Wait.
The format... Okay. Hold on. The format is not wrong. The committee is wrong for not ranking the teams properly. This is where the eye test comes in. If you've watched Boise State play the last 2 weeks, they are not a top 10 team in the country. I think Tulane has looked better than Boise State has. But they have Ashton Jeanty, and he's a great story. If you've watched the Big 12 this year... There's a lot of really solid teams, but there's no elite team. That's why they're not ranked properly. Like, I think Arizona State should be in the conversation. Somebody from the 6-2-0 says KU should be in. I made a case on the podcast.
Wow.
If you want, 249 miles of college football podcast. Not that they should be in, but KU should absolutely be a ranked.
It should be ranked.
Iowa State is still ranked. BYU is still ranked. Colorado is still ranked. And excuse me that KU is 5-6. It doesn't matter to me. They are the only team in college football history.
Yes.
To have a losing record and beat three ranked teams in a row, they've been in every single game to the death, essentially, except for one of them, the TCU game. And they've lost. They could easily only have one loss. And I know that's why KU fans are frustrated. But to me, I don't mind Boise State being in there, but they need to rank the teams better. Because ultimately, you're talking about highest-ranked conference champions. That's where the top 25 rankings matter more than... the at-large bids and the way that the bracket puts up. That's where Boise State gets the bye. Arizona State doesn't.
So you would have Ohio State get the bye?
Well, okay.
You'd have Arizona State get the bye. But that's the thing. That's why the format sucks, though, Drew, because we're talking about this is all about...
I'm not saying I would have that necessarily. I think that Boise State shouldn't be ranked. I can't remember where.
I've got it in front of me. What do you need?
Where is Arizona State ranked? Like,
they're 12. They'll play.
What's their ranking, though?
Okay, give me one second.
Because the rankings are different. Like, Boise State's not
they
four.
They are 16. Arizona State.
And what's Boise State?
Boise State is 11.
Yeah, Boise State's not the 11th best team in the
country.
And I think Tulane is 17, correct?
They are 17th.
I think Tulane is a shot to actually get in. We're going to give you a scenario that actually would be more chaotic, including the Big 12 not making the college football playoff.
That is completely plausible. Yes.
Hold up. Saying that wins and losses matter, but then making a case for KU to be ranked is crazy. I'm not saying they should be in the playoff, because wins and losses matter for you making the playoff. To be ranked?
Yeah, he's just saying ranked. He's not saying playoffs. I thought so for a second, too, 816.
Missouri is ranked.
But exactly, which is BS.
It does not matter.
It's the worst ranked team.
If Missouri and KU played right now, who are you taking to win the game?
KU would wipe the floor with them.
Oh, I don't know about that, but I think KU would have I think the game would be great.
I say wipe the floor. I think it'd be a 10-point game.
Oh, I think it would be coming down to like the final possession of the game.
I think KU's marginally better right now. Right now,
I think that right, and maybe that's why I think they should be ranked again. Ranking technically, you're right. It doesn't mean nothing. It doesn't mean anything, because being ranked, like if you're in 25th, you have no shot at making the playoff. it doesn't matter. But hey, somebody from the 515 says Iowa State's making the playoff. There's a chance at that. A good chance. If they beat K-State this weekend, they're basically in. Arizona State handles business. We got Arizona State, Iowa State, Big 12 title game. Who would have thought that, too, by the way? Drew, Arizona State picked dead last.
How many years away are we from the Big Ten and the SEC leaving and forming their own thing and going away from the NCAA
I'm really scared of that, because I love college football so much that I don't want it to happen. It is funny, too, by the way. The SEC is the best league in the country from a talent perspective. The Big 12, I think, is better than the Big 10 and is right there with the SEC in terms of like competitiveness. I'm not saying that
competitive.
If you took Ohio State, you took Oregon, you took Big 10 teams, they would do good in the Big 12. I'm not saying that they're better, but I think conceivably, if you take the entire conference as a whole, the two most competitive conferences in the country from top to bottom are the SEC and the Big 12. And I think the Big 12 actually might even be the most competitive. I've made that case. Just from top to bottom, anybody can win. We see Arizona State was picked dead last in the preseason.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's the best, but I agree. Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's the best, but I think that...
I could see that.
That's where I think they're not getting enough respect from the standpoint of... It's a bloodbath. Like, the SEC is a bloodbath as well. Like, I think that's what a lot of people are forgetting about, is the bloodbath conferences where they're knocking everybody out. That actually shows that they're a damn good conference.
Yes.
So I don't like the concept of the Big Ten and the SEC leaving, but I know that it's coming, unfortunately, soon.
It is going to happen.
And I think it's going to ruin. I think that will be, everybody says NIL ruins it. It does not ruin. NIL does not ruin college football. Paying players does not do that. The portal does not ruin college football. If you're talking about blowing up the sport in the way that we see it, the SEC and the Big Ten doing their own thing would destroy everything that we've known previously.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
About college football. Real quick before we go to break,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw this. Cody sent this to me last night. Oh. Anybody on the text line, 913-586-7965. Chiefsaholics documentary has a release date now.
Okay. When's it coming out?
Christmas Eve.
Whoa.
So we get the full-on Chiefsaholic experience.
Hunker down by the fire with the family, get some hot chocolate, and watch Chiefsaholic documentary.
Big fan, bad man, lone wolf. Chiefsaholic, new original documentary, geez. December 24th on Prime. Now, Mac, you have never heard the Chiefsaholic, or you've heard the lawyer's speech, I think, on the steps.
Yes.
But you haven't heard any of our mixdown yet.
No, I have not heard. Yes, your work.
913-586-7965. We are going to play Mac a version that we have of Chiefsaholic's lawyer on the steps. Mac has not heard this before, by the way. I want to... make it known that Mac has not heard this before. Here is a mixdown of Chariots of Fire with Chiefsaholic's lawyer some time ago. December 24th.
Xavier.
We get the Chiefsaholic documentary.
Woo!
That is going to be...
less than a month.
I don't know if Alex and Cody were talking about doing a watch party.
Oh, gosh.
I do not remember... Or I don't know if that actually is still going to happen or not. But yeah, Chiefsaholic officially announced the documentary on Prime again, December 24th. So spend family time, kick back, watch the Chiefsaholic documentary with your family.
not letting the knee touch the ground. Just, I mean, the whole thing. I mean, geez, man.
Oh, yeah. The metaphors in that are outstanding, which is why we love the lawyer, maybe more than anything else in terms of the speech that he delivered. Coming up, 1 hour down, three to go. It is Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan. Are we concerned about Chris Jones at all? Like, what's the level of concern regarding Chris Jones? Plus, we're going to give our playoff teams in each conference once again. Who's the surprise team? 913-586-7965. Cody and Gold continues next.